Blog Talk Radio.
that is Enter Sandman by Metallica, an American heavy metal band formed in 1981 in Los Angeles. The band's fast tempos, instrumentals, and aggressive musicianship made them one of the founding big four bands of thrash metal alongside Megadeth, Anthrax, and Slayer. Metallica earned a growing fan base in the underground music community and won critical acclaim in its first five albums. The band's third album, Master of Puppets, was described as one of the heaviest and most influential thrash metal albums. In 2000, Metallica led the case against the peer-to-peer file-sharing service Napster, in which the band and several other artists filed lawsuits against the service for sharing their copyrighted, protected material without consent. After reading a settlement, Napster became a pay-to-use service in 2003. Metallica has been listed as one of the greatest artists of all time by magazines such as Rolling Stone, which ranked them at number 61 of its 100. In 2017, Metallica is the third best-selling music artist since the Nielsen's SoundScan began tracking sales in 91, selling a total of 58 million albums in the U.S. Enter Sandman is the opening track and lead single for their self-titled fifth album released in 91. Their music was written by Kirk Hammill, James Hatfield, and Lars Ulrich. Vocalist and rhythm guitarist Hatfield wrote the lyrics, which deal with the concept of a child's nightmares. The single reached number 16 of the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and achieved platinum certification for more than 1 million copies shipped to the United States, spurring sales of over 30 million copies for Metallica and propelling Metallica to worldwide popularity. Acclaimed by critics, the song is featured in all of Metallica's live albums and DVDs released after 1991 and has been played live at award ceremonies and benefit concerts. Hello, hello, this is Deborah Lee. I'm here with Jay Hatter, and we are a team of voices. We are a radio group, poetry group, that hangs out at allpoetry.com, and it's free to join. If you do, look us up under a team of voices. If you're already there, look us up under a team of voices, and you can come hang out with us. Tonight, we are going to dabble in darkness just a little, or maybe a lot, who knows. But I'm going to let some people into the room. First, let's say hey to Hatter. Hatter!
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello.
Devil's music, man. That's all that is.
Oh. And we have the dynamic duo in the room, one half of which is just a fistful of moments away from his birthday. Hey, Stephen and Kay, welcome to the show.
Hello. The devil's music was Elvis.
Right? Shaking them hips and... Yeah. And right behind them is Mr. Dave Proppett. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. How are you guys? I love
hanging
that epic song, too, by the way. I loved it. Just really got me going.
Good. Yeah, I like the song, too. Right behind David is Wayne Jent. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. Happy birthday, Stephen.
Hey, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne.
What's up there, Dave?
Not much.
I already got in tonight. I just finished my phone about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. It should be a fun night tonight. A lot of neat stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat stuff
out
there.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some crazy pictures, so I can't wait to see what everybody did. But Wayne practically just got his not a few minutes ago, so I'm like, he said, I'll try. And you know, I really love when people are inspired so quick. Like when I went to bed at the wee hours of the morning, I put up a prompt for later and just happened to send the link off to Kay. And when I came back in here at All Poetry, I realized that it was within an hour's time that she was already going back to that topic and putting up a poem. I love when inspiration hits that hard and that quick. Anyhow, I know that there is a celebration slash poetry show going on at A Poetic Slice after this, so we better get the dynamic duo in gear. And ladies first, I put K's on the board, so Kay, please.
Well,
did I go to the wrong board? Hold on. Oh, no, okay.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Yeah, I shouldn't see them. I will say I got greedy and I combined two prompts. One of them was human test and then one was prompt. So I can use all the words and text this to the only one to bring in light souls. So I called cranberry. Yeah. Cranberry stems, flush of cinnamon, the saffron, the decades and flames, smoked and burnt. And the roses are red, and rosemary is a wildflower, tongues and burnt. Ravens of pregnancy, cherry Kool-Aid days and lollipop popsicle smudges on sugar plum cheeks, pinchful and baby powder, pink blushes, mixing the mulberry rise upon baby fat, laughing in the rose, not sangria, the richest sought, the mantelpiece lace in the frock of simplicity, doilies, sensitivity, and sensibility, the cardinal flower, gladiola's whisper and dragonfly motions, is a beat to the stepstones of chaos to linen centerpieces. Some a substance, pewter and unusuality, and points at our laurels, never rustin. Twirling and hibiscus geraniums are we, in teapot socialization, harmonizing. Happy birthday and anniversary.
Thanks.
To you, Stephen.
You know, there were so many visuals in here. It's like an overload of gorgeousness. Like, I absolutely love lollipop popsicle smudges on sugar plum cheeks. I think I should have just said the whole cherry Kool-Aid days and lollipop popsicle smudges on sugar plum cheeks. There's something so endearing about that sentence right there. And the visuals, and it triggers a sweet tooth, and there's like this explosion to the senses just in that part, let alone more. Lobster and Merlot's, not sangria, the richest sought, the marketplace lacing, the frock of simplicity. You know, sometimes the frock of simplicity is like all you can hope for when there's so much chaos going on. So I really like that, frock of simplicity. Doily, sensitivity and sensibility, the cardinal flower. The cardinal flower brings the picture of the color to your head right away because everybody knows the color of cardinals, you know. So I think that your choices here are awesome. And then with the scents, like trolling in hibiscus geraniums. And I love the thought of a teapot socialization harmonizing. So this came out really, really clever. I think you did a great job with the prompt, like you always do. And let me get you some comments. How about Wayne?
Well, I thought it was a beautiful poem. The colors just kind of jump off the page. It's so colorful. It was a great read. Didn't scare me much, but my sweet tooth went crazy. I'm dying for some candy bar or something now. Had a lot of flavors in this poem. It's a wonderful, it had a great flow and did a good job reading it. I like it a whole lot. Good job, RK.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I just mentioned doilies in my grandma's house. You know, she used to make her own little doily thing. I guess that was the thing, put on the armrest and the back
of
the chair. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Yep.
Yeah, my grandparents' house had those, too.
Mine, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's that called when you do that? That's not macrame, is it? When they do the boys,
no.
Knitting.
I don't know.
I would assume knitting or crocheting.
Yeah, there you go.
Literally making.
Tying a lot of knots.
But it's funny how so many different thoughts and emotions are triggered by just a handful of words. Like, a lot of people just got carried to their grandparents' house or their their aunt's house when with the Doilies. So that part was really clever. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. Mr. Dave.
Oh, thank you. This just drug me back into the 1950s. I remember when we used to go up to the store and get a package of Kool-Aid and, you know, and dump it in your hand and lick it right out of the carton, you know, dye all over your hands and lips and whatnot, you know, and this cherry Kool-Aid days and lollipop popsicle smudges on sugar plum cheek. That's priceless, Kay. I mean, that's really cool. This whole poem was just really, really uplifting and colorful. It tugged at our past memories, you know, to us that have been, you know, born a while ago, like I have. yeah, this is really beautiful. You know, there's one other line in here I really liked. You know, what Hatter was saying about the doilies and stuff, we had them all over our house, you know, and we used to pick the damn things up and throw them around, you know, kind of like a frisbee sometimes. Some of them were pretty big, you know, and that all of this just really, really resonated with me. I thought it was really beautifully written and done. Well done.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. Yeah, like I said, it's incredible how many different triggers just came from that,
mm-hmm.
and the places that you know, you took us to this place and that place and this feel and that feel and that smell, and it was just like a mega treat for the senses. And what did you think, Stephen?
Well, yeah, I like this a lot. You know, you wrote this for my birthday, and I'm not sure how many people know that tomorrow's not just my birthday. It's also the 25th anniversary of the day that Kay and I met.
Yeah.
Best birthday present I ever got. Yeah. The lines in here. Remember.
Everybody,
by the wind.
The wind just picked up.
Yeah, I feel it.
Yeah.
All the way from California.
Yeah.
I remember when you had those cravings for the strawberry milkshakes, and that whole thing about the Kool-Aid days and the popsicle smudges and sugar plum cheeks,
mm-hmm.
and the pinchable baby powder pink flushings, it makes me think of James
yeah.
in his diaper dancing in front of the TV to the Rolling Stones with his sippy cup in hand
yeah.
and the red smudges on the screen. So this just, it's like I said in my comment, you know, I see bits of James in this, a very young James in this.
Mm-hmm.
I also see us in there. So many things that I missed when James was a toddler, but I also really love him.
Me too. Thank
this
you.
Is a beautiful poem.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh.
All right. Now, if I would have been able to go light with this one, it would have had to have been something about Kermit the Frog rescuing him or something, because I don't think you could make that picture light. Thank you, Megan.
Help myself. Back to you.
All right. Anyway, this is called Truth is Told in the Whispered Words of a Corpse. Safety mist of nylon rust drags me beneath the charcoal surface. Ghastly noose riders grin, creases opal eyes. Pitted smoke fitted sheet grates ankle bone. Hungry crimson claws slash. Kiss the brundle fly while it vomits its thin acid into a chamber pot full of bone chowder. Animals approach with jaws scraping floorboard, but the raccoon rides bare-ass red on sandpaper floor. tangled in moss lily pad stems, vacuumed down to the faces of ash with irisless eyes of chalk, who whisper gurgled scarlet syllables. End poem.
Well, for starters, what an awesome title. Truth is told in the whispered words of a corpse. Do you know how creepy the thought of a corpse whispering at all is? Just like, So that's like a really, really heavy-duty title. Make somebody going to have to flip on that one to read those, Stephen, and that's the point of a good title. So holy cow. Fitted smoke, fitted sheet, great ankle bone. Ow! Hungry tempting claw slash. Kiss the brundle's wife. Ew. While it vomits. While it vomits. I mean, the imagery just keeps hitting grosser and harder and powerful. And my goodness, tangled in moss, lily pad stems, vacuumed down to the faces of ash with irisless eyes of chalk. And that visual right there, you can just see the flat, cold, white, no pupils, no windows to the soul, because there is no soul, kind of creepy. So you made that photo more scary. I think that you did a great job with that. Hatter, wait a minute, before you comment, let me bring in AP Taylor. Oh, I don't know what happened. I hung up. Okay. Hatter, please comment for Stephen.
Yeah, who didn't feel the great grating ankle bone? Oh, my God. I've done, it's like road rush. Yeah. I was earlier watching the old Fear Factors. So it's kissing the brundle fly while it vomits.
Yeah, I remember that.
Exactly.
Good stuff, right?
Creepy, right? And how about Wayne?
Yep, phone chatter sounds right up my alley. That's the candle with the fortune with Charles creeping floorboards. That sounds a lot like my family. This is a little bit gross. I mean, a whole lot gross. I like to take on the picture, and it didn't make me, I lost my appetite anyway. It's a very good poem. Great job, there, Steve.
Thanks, Wayne.
And Dave.
Wow, yeah, this one sort of set me back in my chair a little bit. Safety mesh of nylon rust. That's some safety net. Dragged me beneath the charcoal surface. Ghastly noose, rider's grin increases opal eyes. You did a really good job on this. Remind me not to let you tell any of my little friends' bedtime stories. You know, they'd be in a mental ward after that. But no, this is really good. Your poetry always tickles me for some odd reason. It's always, it really stands out, and I don't know. It's cannabis approach with jaws scraping floorboards, reptilian raccoon. Never seen a reptilian raccoon before. That sounds interesting. Rides bare ass red on sandpaper saddle. That's cool. Tangled in mossy lily pad stems, backing down to the faces of ash with irisless eyes of chalk. Hell, I had some girlfriends that eyes looked like that. Anyway, this was really cool, Stephen. I think you outdid yourself on this one, man. Well done.
Thank you, Dave.
Awesome comment. And let's see if it worked this time. AP, are you there?
I am here, Dave. I've sort of had a few little connection issues, but I'm here.
Awesome. I saw you there, and I went to hit it. You were gone, and then it just happened again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
Glad you made it.
But no, I really like this poem, Deb. I think it's sort of the image looks like that person is you know, about to be killed by fingers and hands coming from below, and it the words sort of get you in here in this particular way. It's really kind of cool. The words sort of get you like the fingers do and drag you down.
Yeah,
I
didn't even really notice that it looks like that skull over there has dead white eyes until he wrote that, and then I went back looking. So, like,
yeah.
He really brought the darkness out of this, for sure. Kay, will you comment for your hubby?
Well, yeah, the picture definitely is dark, yeah, because you can see all the hands and fingers and what looks like skulls floating around. So, yeah, it kind of brings the mindset of being pulled under something that's dark and foreboding, which takes the title to have its meaning, you know, words of a corpse, death. But, yeah, you definitely bring in some great thoughts here. Yeah, Brundlefly, because, you know, we talk about the fly often. You know, I like the remake. The original was good, too. But, you know, the Jeff Goldblum version, it definitely is more intense with the visualizations. And you're right, definitely brings, you know, the hardcore visualizations.
Brundlefly was cute?
No. This is cool, though. You bring the darkness. It's awesome.
Thanks.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, would you like to tell us, or Kay, would one of you like to tell us what's happening at the mortuary?
Well, yeah, I will take that responsibility real fast. Tonight, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, the Mortuary Shadows. We're just having fun. The prompt is about Communion Season from Star Trek, from the original series, the Sotinism, but also Wrath of Khan, the film.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you don't want to write to that prompt, that's fine. Just bring yourself, hang out, say happy birthday. Just having fun tonight.
Very, very awesome. And I had a little bit of fun writing my creepy, disgusting poem for the show.
Yeah.
So I will see you over there. I'm still creeped out by part something that's in there. But that's kind of how it goes. I don't know if Hatter has an intention of pushing that button that he normally pushes before you leave, but there's a little happy birthday Stephen note on the chat wall for you. And Hatter, did you want to push that button?
Which button? You better push it.
I don't know what you have it labeled.
Okay. Hold on.
Add a button.
Oh, okay.
Let me get there. See, my scroller's working.
Yeah, well, while we're waiting for that button, you guys can click on AP's poem, because that'll be the next one we read as soon as Hatter gets done pushing this button. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Hatter. You push this button every single time. I assumed you're anxious to do so.
Well, no, we got.
What?
Anxious, it doesn't know where the button is.
Oh no, Eddie, are you kidding me? It's your birthday again? Oh snap! Here we go. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Okay, so there it is. Now I gotta do my thing. All
right.
Your thing. I'll talk to you later on. Get up on out of here. Have some cake or something like that.
Thanks, I will.
All right. I want some chocolate cake with a big tall glass of milk.
Oh, that sounds good. Let's all head to Ohio. Don't eat all the cake before we get there.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
you know, it sucks about getting old.
Well, we don't have to mention any numbers. We can just celebrate Stephen and his cake.
Exactly.
Okay, now I know that AEP's on a time crunch as well, so he is going to read for us next. Guys, if you stay for a comment, great. If not, I will see you at the pate. AP, please.
Becky, well, this is Deb to the quote from Shakespeare, of course. The Prince of Darkness is a gentleman. It's the same artist as Stephen wrote to, Stephen Coydell. And I'm not nearly as dark as Stephen. I'm sort of lightly grey. This is a scent, and it goes a bit like this. On the coral horizon towered birds in banks. Grey they darkened the licorice overhead. Whispering an ebony foam lift over flanks. Below one dying shriveled as his cut split. Surrounding many hands of freaker throne. A glow orange opal death hummed apropos. Whilst riding towards in a suit of onyx tone. A businessman as if walking on Savile Row. With a top hat to tailored shirt with a skull crest. Shirt of scarlet, pressed firm off bony hand. A trail of blood blushed past the cypress, and stench death strode a wilderness grand. He only appeared after his minions enforced the flame of the hands and bird shadows. His manners always immaculate, not coarse. Victims who were fate curled in their marrow. And he collected the fallen with tenderness, and they ascended with the hands into sky. While once crimson and bone and all the mess. Wild animals cleared as they wandered on by.
Okay. For starters, I'm thinking this is pretty dark and creepy myself. So I don't know why you said it wasn't. Dan, surrounding many hands on paprika throne, a glow orange opal, death hummed our Poe. Holy cow. Oh, he only appeared after his minions enforced the flame of the hands and bird shadows. His manners always immaculate, not coarse. Victims knew of fate curled in their marrow. I like that. That's the bone-chilling feeling that runs down your spine. I like the way you put that. The fate curled in their marrow. So that's a brilliant phrase right there. One of those. I wish I wrote that line. And he collected the fallen with tenderness. Tenderness. That's like so contradictory. Like, it's hard to see any kind of tenderness with those flaming hands coming out of the ground. So that's pretty creepy. So, again, I say, I totally, other than the fact that the animals just casually cleared on by, I see dark and creepy, so I think he did a hell of a job with it. And it's always so cool to see words that I use so often in everyone's poems and what they do with them. So, like, that part's a treat for me, too. So, like, well done. And let me get you some comments, and I will go directly to the duo so that they can exit. So I'll start with the birthday boy and tell us what you thought of this.
I just left your comment, AP, and I told you, and maybe it's because Kayla got me Paramount Plus for my birthday, so I've been watching the new miniseries of The Stand, but I feel like I'm liking this a lot. All you had to do was throw a Have a Nice Day button on his lapel, and I would have definitely sealed it being around the flag. This is awesome. Pleased to meet you. Hope you get to meet me.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a perfect analogy. Kay?
Well, yeah, I like the line, his manners, always immaculate, not coarse, because, as I said in my comment, this is definitely sharper meaning with the visualizations. It adds a darkness. You speak about taking the lost ones that have died, cradling them in tenderness. I see that line that I quoted as death with a clean.
Thank you,
Pat. Awesome comment. And I had her.
Yeah, this is probably the darkest thing I think I've read from you, AP.
Good.
Top three.
The flame of the hands. Maybe a lighter gray, like you said. The flames of the hands and bird shadows, his manners. Oh, it's not. That's not the one. Ascended with the hands into sky, with the once crimson to the bones, and all in that swell down the spirit. I like the long run-on sentence, man. This is it.
Yes, it is. Yes, thank you.
Oh, comment. And how about the prophet?
Well, I really like this. I actually considered this prompt before I got my other one. And I like the almost like a yin and yang flavor to this one. You know, I agree with what you said down here, Deb, in this last stanza. It says, and he collected the fallen with tenderness. you don't usually associate that with this type of a storyline. And while crimson on bone and all the mess, wild animals cleared as they wandered on by. You know, animals have a built-in alarm system on them, and they know when they shouldn't be near something like this. And I think that's a really brilliant way of illustrating that. The whole poem is really interesting, and it's really written real classy. Of course, I wouldn't expect anything else from AP other than class, but I thought this was one of the darkest ones I've ever heard you do, too, I have to say that. But you did well on it, AP, and I really liked it a lot.
Oh, thank you, Doc. Thank you.
Sure.
Great comment, David. And how about Mr. Wayne Gent?
I'll take Poe for the game. No, I'm sorry, that's another day.
Yeah.
This is a wonderfully dark poem. It's well balanced and professionally written. It covers death and demons. And he was such a gentleman collecting the problem with such tenderness. Killing and mutating in such a passionate way. I like his poem a lot. It's a dark poem for us gentlemen. Great job with it, AP.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. Wayne, I did tell AP that you said to line them up so you can knock them down. King of the Tic Mac Poe. Just saying.
I don't know about that.
Congratulations again on your win. And AP Taylor, great poem. I appreciate you squeezing me in on your lunch break. And I assume you have to go.
I was just excited that I could use the word apropos and I actually rhymed it. It's kind of cute, really. First time ever.
Professional. So professional.
There you go. Very apropos. Have a great lunch.
So, thanks very much. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, everybody. Talk soon.
See you, AP.
Okie dokie. Let's see where we're going to go next. I am going to grab the poem that Mr. Dave Prophet wrote. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I'm sorry, Dave. I want to read Angels, and then I will put yours on. I'm going to read for Heavenly Angel.
Okay. Sure.
I forgot
that
she had just woke up. So let me put that there. And here we go. You guys see it?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, this is called Dead on Arrival. My heavenly angel. Outside, the rain is falling in a bleak, gray, steady mist, and here I sit by my window thinking of you. My heart is calling your name again. Pearlescent tears flow from violet eyes. Missing you has overtaken my thoughts. Ordinarily positive, I've fallen into depression. Rigor mortis has set into my soul, turning me cold and lifeless like a piece of hard granite. I hate seeing myself dissolve and slip, separate, so that I'm living in one half of my mind, the half that realizes everything we had has gone up in smoke. Even after all the passing of time, I can't seem to come to grips with your absence. Even a second goes on and on. I could stand any of it if I could only surrender to the endless night. If I could only accept that the life we once knew has turned to ash,
akin to burnt charcoal. No one seems to care about my pain. They don't grasp I'm lost without you. I feel helpless and frantic. I realize monsters are real. Ghosts are real, too. They live inside us, and sometimes they win, causing us to bleed out in rich crimson blood. Lack of words to express how sad this life can be, the depth of it cutting to the bone. Without the sound of your voice, without the glow of your life blended with mine, I turn to rust. Without you, I'm dead on arrival, just haunting this thing called living. End poem. Wow.
I guess.
Well,
a little bit different.
Absolutely, yeah. Deep, gripping heartache, loneliness, pain. Man, even in the sadness, in the realization of monsters and ghosts, there's still enough in here that we can see the romance. And though it's been stepped on and cut and bleeding all over the place now, you can still feel that once romance in the poem. It's like, wow. Sometimes people surprise you in the best ways, and this is one of those. This is my new absolute favorite of her darker pieces, which, we see, again, we hear Heavenly Angel, we expect love and romance and tenderness and spiritual beauty. So these surprises blow me away, and this is absolutely fantastic. What do you think, Hatter? Oh, and I was so honored to read.
Yeah, this is a little different than what she usually writes. This is that when you feel that heartache. I would rather break my arm than have that heartache when it's intense. It's like nobody knows. You feel like you're the only one. So it did a good job. Brought those feelings back.
Awesome comment. And how about Dave?
You know, I don't think there's a man on the planet that wouldn't like the love that this lady has for whomever. I don't know if she's got a man in her life right now or not, but she really understands the concept of love, and she really understands how to put it out there and express, you know, how deep it cuts sometimes, and but she's not afraid to do it, and it's a really an honest write, and I admire her so much for the way she writes and her her general attitude in life is really brilliant, and I just love this poem. I thought it was excellent, and I agree with whomever said this. I think this is one of her best. You know, at least on my book, in my book it is, so.
Yeah, I stepped right into the role when I was reading. That was like just, when I was done, all I could do was say, wow, it was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Before you comment, Wayne, hold on 1 second. Let's say hi to Sky. Welcome to the show, Sky.
Hello.
Glad you're here.
Sky.
And right behind Sky, we have Frank. Let's let Frank into the room, please. Hello, Frank.
Hello there, my friends. It's good to be on.
Hey, Frank.
Hello there, my friends.
Hey, Frank.
Hello there, my friend. Hello there.
Glad you're here.
It's good to be on.
And I'm just about to get Wayne to comment on a poem that I read for Heavenly Angel. So, Wayne, please.
Yeah, this is definitely a sad poem. It uses the darkness of death as a backdrop. The pain of living without someone that you love is shown well. it's sad and the emotions hurt in this poem. Just reading it, it makes me hurt. Just to put in a ton of pain. It's a great job writing it. It scares me thinking of the sadness of being left alone like that. And it's a great job listening. This poem does hurt when you read it. It makes you sad. It's sad to the heart. Great job.
Awesome comment. And I don't know if Sky or Frank were in the room when I was reading. Were either one of you here while I read, or did you just get here?
Yeah, go ahead, Sky. I'll answer afterwards.
I was here, and it was for my contest, so I got to hear both. But this is a wonderful piece. Congratulations on Silver. And my recommendation, I thought this was wonderfully written to the folks. And more bringing it into your own way and in your own words, and really taking this idea of the monsters are real and ghosts are real, and bringing it into a period of loss and mourning. And I think that loss can be so many things. It could be a death. It could be a separation. There are so many things that we could be haunted by. Our own memories, our own moments, or actual people. So in writing in such a way, you really can help the reader take it into themselves and kind of reflect from their perspective on what is it exactly haunting them. And then again, in your own words, my heart is calling your name again. Pearlescent tears flow with violet eyes, missing. You has overtaken my thoughts. There is such a sense of a longing and loss and wanting in this piece, and I thought you wrote it stunningly, as everyone has said. And great read, Deb.
Oh, thank you. And I'm pretty sure Skye's got a beat, but before she reads, did you want to comment, Frank?
Yes, I was able to hear, I only heard the ending there. But it was a great rendition there, Deb. You did a magnificent job there. I agree. This is really a very haunting piece, but at the same time, although it seems so real, it's very real. You know, the monsters we can have that manifest at times, you know, we conjure, can be somewhat surreal in animation, but in our real lives, they are real. They are within our own selves, our own mind, creation. I thought this piece really was a haunting piece. It really reminded me, like, something out of Wuthering Heights, you know, that whole notion of Heathcliff with Catherine. It just brought me that really, this is really powerful love there, enduring love and enduring pain and powerful pain. And I think that Heavenly Angel really is a remarkable poetess, and she brought a remarkable piece. I really enjoyed the whole notion of what she was saying here in the power of her words.
Awesome comments. Thank you so much, and I really thought that was an awesome piece, so I'm glad you guys got to hear some of it. Now, as I said, I believe Sky has another appointment as well. So, Sky, I put yours on the board.
Thank you. And this is the only one I don't think I did a sound clap for you, because I knew I was getting a little early today because I did some training. I'm getting back to the talking while trying to get back to stage. So this is Swindled Lock and Cardinal Pleas by Cy Darkle. There are hinges left on this heart, half set and half tumbling, a timber wolf pendulum ticking like clockwork beat. Blade upon the bracken of desert sand, no drift. A pole of morning glory and moonlit pond. Opposition trying to find footing in the prints of carbon copies, remeasuring, redefining that those stuttering clicks might fall into place. A cut of ham sauce teeth washed in English vermilion and copper cream liqueur. The resin of swindled locks and cardinal plea and poem.
Wow. I Well, for starters, I love the title Swindled, Box, and Cardinal, please. Splayed upon the bracken of desert sand and snowdrifts, a pool of morning glories and moonlit ponds. There's something about that, a pool of morning glories and moonlit ponds, because for that imagery, you expect this, you know, there's a prettiness to that moonlit pond, but there's splayed just before, and then after, grasping at keys, frantically measuring, redefining so those stuttering clicks might fall into place, and you can literally think of the hand shaking while you're trying to push the key in there and move it, and so that imagery there, and a cut of handsaw teeth washed in English vermilion and copper cream liqueur. You use some really, really vivid wording to pull these images out, but I have to go back towards the beginning for a minute. A timberwolf pendulum ticking the clockwork beats. Wow. I think that this picture screams sky, and I think that your metaphors and visuals are really hellified. But I'm still taken by that moonlit pond in the middle. I don't know why. A pool of morning glories and moonlit ponds. So you want romance with that moonlit pond, not scared to death, jiggling your keys, trying to redefine the lock. I mean, wow, the contradiction's pretty awesome. Great job.
Thanks, Deb.
Hatter, what did you think? Hatter, are you muted?
Yes, I was yakking away. The use of the word pull, a pull of morning glory, I think that's great. That, using a word, doubling a word, for the, it's like a wisdom of owls, a pull of morning glories, a snip of roses. Sky.
Thank you, Hatter.
And how about a comment from Wayne, please?
Well, this is so poetic. It's poetically written in great phrases and a wonderful read. I couldn't grasp what I was trying to picture in my mind. Is I was lost in the wonderful phrases. It kept going up in one different directions. I'm a little bit confused. It's a little bit abstract for my mind to pick up. I got such a weak mental mind. I just couldn't comprehend what I'm trying to be scared about. So I'm sorry, but it's a great, great poem and great phrases, and I just couldn't picture it to get put together. I'm sorry, I'm just my mind just can't handle this. Some of this complex. Good poem.
Powerful comment. And how about Dave?
Well, I like this because it seduces the reader real slowly, and you start reading it, and there's nothing that really slams you in the face, at least to me, right off the bat. And then it just keeps. Beg your pardon? Anyway, it just, I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it was classy. I thought it was really well written. I'm not going to disassemble this down to the nuts and bolts because I don't know how, but. I really liked it. I thought it was a real interesting storyline, really fascinating, and very, very picturesque and visual. Chai's known for this sort of stuff, so well done.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And I think before I get a comment from Frank, let's say hello to my sweet.
Sweet. Help support this channel.
Sweet.
Sweet. Are you muted, my sweet?
Yes, I am. Hello. How is everyone?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I don't know if you were here in time to hear Sky, but I was about to get a comment for her from Frank.
I did not hear Sky, but I will reach Sky.
Cool.
All right. I thought this was a very, I agree with what you said. Imagery here is very vivid, and of course, when I looked at the prompt there, I looked at the inspiration of the quote there. It was very, very vivid, but I thought it was a wonderful display, a masterful display of language and metaphors in this piece here. You know, it took me to a scene here, the way you interwove, had the metaphors interwoven here. You really made me gravitate to a scene, you know, and just literally just grasping on to that heart there as you read this piece. I thought it was very, very well written. It was an excellent write, and you did an excellent job here with the way you narrated this here and the suspense as well. It was an awesome write.
Thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
Did you glance at that suite, or should I go to the next poem?
Oh, no, I glanced at this. This is, wow. I first off, I love the picture. There are three hinges left on this heart, half set and half tumbling. These are some great phrases. A pool of morning glory and moonlight pond. Opposition trying to find footing. You know, I know this is a one about love and everything like that, but a cut of handsaw teeth washed in English vermilion. This is beautifully written, and it's also haunting and sad. This poor heart that's been through so much. And I love Cardinal Pleas too. This is just gorgeous, Sky, as usual. It's your work. But I really hope that all of those stuttering clicks fall into pieces someday, and it's redefined. And, you know, I know this is odd, and it hits me deeply because I'm coming up on a year anniversary. But, man, it sounds so much like my heart that was trying to work so hard, and it finally did fall into places, and all those stuttering clicks worked. And this just hits me really hard. Wow, I'm glad I read it. I'm glad you're here for me to talk about. Stunning and beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, sweet. It definitely was about shoving too many keys in there that didn't quite fit. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. Fantastic poem. And I don't know if you have to go right now or you're going to wait. For the next poem,
I can wait for a couple.
Okay, cool. Dave Prophet is on the board. So, Dave, if you will take over, that is fantastic.
Alrighty. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Okay. Well, first of all, I had a blast writing this for this. This woman just really fascinated me. I came down and I saw that picture that AP chose, and almost after that one, and then I went down a little bit further, and I looked at this one here. It's called Nemesis. And that just said, hey, that's mine. So anyway, the artist that drew this picture or painted or whatever he did, his name is Hollow D, and I use an Edgar Allan Poe quote, deep into darkness peering, long I stood there, wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before, Edgar Allan Poe. And the poem reads like this: Spectre of chaos, war paint in obsidian and bone, trails all yesterdays from time immemorial. Painted in oxblood of eons gone by, she bears a seal of entropy. Her savage beauty drives a fading timeline into violets kissed in magnesium extinction forever. Forevermore, beautiful beyond all measure. Satan could never resist her, this force of the universe. She is irresistible to its entirety, for it must be this way. Her dark streaming mane, all the night winds of onyx, blowing in a smoke of make-believe, bleeding from epochs of evaporated time. shows you her forest of nickel spears, tombstones of all those sapphire-tipped teeth of entropy, all those slain times that were, now bleeding in red-shifted dark energy swirling at her feet, running away at odd angles, winking out in indigos. She looked upon me. I felt her uranium-kissed tachyon swirling around me, waiting for the nod from her beautiful head that never came. She said to me in an odd timbre interface betwixt yesterday and today's, "The Dark Mother has spoken to me of you. I shall keep my pets upon their emerald chains, for I have many streets to visit before your house that floats on the charcoal sea of space-time shall I then visit. For I am the poisonous disk of the universe, for my touch permanent and everlasting in my uranium half-life touch. I am your nemesis, David William. Would you sacrifice your life to kiss my feet or fingers? Pray thee say no. Fret not this question unto you. The Dark Mother would not allow this sacrifice of her one and only love. She dreams of you in red-shifted lust, glowing in ruby wavelengths that trail off into light years. She loves you, David. I shan't come for you in these times that are. I shall never break her heart. I stood before the Queen of Entropy, Her Majesty Nemesis, and I wept on bended knee." End poem.
And he strikes again. Well, now bleeding in red-shifted dark energy swirling at her feet, running away at odd angles, winking out in indigos. She looked upon me. I felt her uranium kissed. Tachyons swirling around me, waiting for the nod from her. The Dark Mother has spoken to me of you. I shall keep my pets upon their emerald chains. Now, I didn't know what you might have done with her. I had put that little thing on the board. Is this Dark Mother in face paint? and you're like,
yeah, I saw
see?
That.
I was like, you brat. But I like how we are meeting someone else who Dark Mother spoke to about you. Ahead of time, mm-hmm. I guess David's safe. But I love this too. "For I am the poisonous bisque of the universe, my touch permanent and everlasting in my uranium half-life touch. I am your nemesis, David." And I'm like, uh-oh. Doesn't sound like Dark Mother said something good about him after all. So it was like intriguing. And then we're back to the Dark Mother would not allow this sacrifice of her one and only love. And I'm like, okay, that's what I would expect her to do, back to protecting David. So it was a little bit of twist and turn there, but as usual, a very clever story with our cotton candy and gunpowder princess here. let me give you some comments.
Thank you, Deborah.
How about my sweet? Are you muted, doll?
David, yeah. David, I really hope that you never get tired of hearing me saying you're an amazing storyteller. I love the detail, the imagery, the characterization that you have built with the Dark Mother. I love hearing you read it. It's like I should have a book on tape of all of your stories, your poems, your synopsis, and just like sit down, read my have you read the sci-fi story to me. And, you know, that's just it. Driving in my car, laying down, resting, just Dave and the, you know, Dark Mother sci-fi story. It just never bores me. It just goes from this story to that story, the venture. I really always, always enjoy it. And I know I say the same thing. You're an amazing storyteller, and I adore you and the Dark Mother. And I will say it again, as I have. So I hope you never get bored of me saying that.
Oh, I won't. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think that's great.
I like the way he said that. Oh, I won't. Great comment.
I won't.
And Hatter, what did you think?
I was not able to follow. I had to call back in.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Okay, how about if I get a comment from Frank, please?
Yes, by all means. I do agree. This is a wonderful narrative here, great storytelling. It's a fantastic realm of science fiction. You know, and I think science fiction, we don't have our creativity. Science fiction would be very boring, as with other genres that we write. But in particular, this type of genre, you have to have creativity. This piece here was a very creative write. I really like the metaphors he expressed in each one of these lines here. Very exquisite writing here. And I enjoyed, too, the storyline. It was a dark mother. You know, the whole notion that you provide here of the dark mother is one that's very vivid, and it really could be extended onto a scene of a film, or even a film itself.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. How about if I get a comment from Sky, please? And, Sweet, can you do me a favor and put your link on the board?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I forgot to put it in the room. Duh.
Yes, I thought this was excellent. I really loved this part here. The Dark Mother would not allow the sacrifice of her one and only love. She dreams of you. And redshift lust, glowing in ruby length, wavelength of that trail off into light years. I really, really love that part. I love how you use the, again, you bring in the Dark Mother and you spin Zeb's around. I think I see that you made a cool little Zeb's picture prompt poems and the Dark Mother, but I know you have way more than like two or three in there, so it looks like you got to go back and start filling those in. It's going to be some work for you. But I definitely think you did a stunning job. Again, the language was excellent. I really loved that part. Again, another part that really stuck out for me was just shows you her forest of nickel spears, tombstones of all those sapphire-tipped teeth. And I really loved the language in that stanza as well. I thought this was brilliantly done, Dave. Definitely another right into this this thing you've got going on with the Dark Mother and Deb's prom.
Well, actually,
you don't know, Sky, he's been writing about her for years. I mean, we're
well,
talking.
I know.
Yeah, I have.
I know.
For at least a solid year, she was like the halftime show special. She's one of the most in-depth characters we have on allpoetry.com, you know?
Yeah, I do. I do know that. And we start tying them into the Monday Day prompt. So that folder, you've got some work to do filling those in.
Thank you, Sky. I'll say one thing about this particular lady here that I wrote about. She is a embodiment of entropy, which has to do with thermal dynamics and the universe. It's a ordered state that tends to go into chaos, and she's kind of the handmaiden of the Dark Mother, so to speak. So she's that's why I told you, Deb, that you'd have to wait and see who she really was. So that's what it's really all about. But anyhow.
Very cool.
That was an excellent
very worthy
prop.
Installment in the
port.
Saga there. Now let's see.
I didn't
did everyone get to comment?
I didn't.
Would you like to, Hatter?
That's Wayne.
How was Wayne? It's Wayne. I didn't comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wayne, please comment, and then we will listen to Sweet Read.
All right. This is a wonderful poem of meeting the Queen of Infantry, and that is one evil lady that travels around with her everlasting poisonous touch. It's a very descriptive poem, wonderful storyline, and I'm glad you were spared by your Dark Mother. She must really love you a lot. I would have had your pride. But I love the details of this poem, and you did a very good job. I like it a lot. Great story. Good job.
Thank you. Thanks, Wayne. I love it. Thank you.
Great comment. I don't know. Watch out for Wayne, though. He would have had him fried. Damn. Okay, so the next poem on the board is by Sweet Bee. So if you would click on that poem, and she will dazzle us.
My Crown by Sweet Bee. The eyes of the sun closed, and the shades of pomegranate skies rose, as the day's brightness faded into the grave of darkness. Salted waterfall of teardrops killed the white roses on my casket, as linen wrapped in lilacs masked the smell of my decay. Charcoal smoke swallowed the universe I did know, to scents of sangria wine mixed with burning flesh and bone. Spinning in square dance circles, a cobalt sky below, mushroom tea with the Mad Hatter, paradise above or below. Eyes of pewter-colored elephants and snuffleupagus marched in pairs, in lava rivers that flowed through time, killing dinosaurs and earth. Stumble into the nightmares of the dead, the home of insanity and fear. Shh, say the voices all around your head. Blaze of fire screams and eyes of green stare, fingers gently brush through strands of hair. Dead body chills to 100 degrees, crimson wings spread, and a queen is born. My hands bloody, I take the crown. And poem.
Wow. Holy cow. Gee. Oh, man.
I second that. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, before I get into the
nitty-gritty,
I was very impressed that Snuffleupagus made an appearance. Go Snuffy. Anyway, my crown. You sweet, you show your crown every time you bring your dark pen, dear heart. Man, what do I pick? What do I pick? Salted water teardrops killed the white roses on my casket, as linen wrapped in lilacs masked the smell of my decay. Oh, my God. That was like... I don't even have a word to describe. That gave me the chills. Charcoal smoke swallowed the universe. I did know to sense of sangria wine mixed with burning flesh and bone. And I thought, oh, what a creepy smell. What a creepy scenario. What that mean? And then you somehow sneak in that Snuffleupagus. And it made me smile, even in the middle of all that craziness, because they march in pairs, okay? And I'm like, wait, what? Stumble in the nightmares of the dead. And I'm like, okay, my sweet dreams of Snuffleupagus and the home of sanity and fear. And then when you did, shh, says the voice all around your head, my goosebumps got the goosebumps too. So, like, and wait a minute, wasn't the Hatter, yeah, mushroom tea with the Mad Hatter, paradise above or below. I like that the Hatter got a nod in there. Crazy, crazy nightmare details bring this to life. My Crown is a perfect title for our Queen of Darkness. I think, as usual, you nailed this prompt. To the wall, and then stood there and watched it bleed with a big old grin on your face. Awesome piece. Hatter, you want to comment?
Yeah, you picked the best stanza. The salted waterfalls of teardrops killed the white roses on my casket, as linen wrapped in lilacs masked the smell of my decay. Oh. Yeah, pretty dark, sweet.
You can bring it. Oh, thank you, Hatter.
Oh,
I even tried
comment.
To rhyme a little bit. I thought you'd be happy.
And Dave, what did you think?
Oh, man. You know, I remember way back when I first got on
all poetry. I think, Deb, your group was the first one I was in. And you and Sweet Pea and Michelle, or Evening Star, were the three sexiest women I've ever been around in my life, I swear to God. And you know, just sensual and really really able to write what's in your heart and on your mind and stuff. And that's one of the things I always like about Sweet's writing. She can write about anything, you know. And this poem here was really, really dark, but it was beautiful at the same time. And, you know, it's aside from some of the bad smells in it, the storyline in it, the storyline in it is fascinating to me, just fascinating. And, you know, you could extend this poem out another three pages and I'd read every word of it, you know, every syllable of it.
Oh, thank you.
It's just seriously. And I don't know what a snuffle-a-ghost, whatever that is. I don't know what
really?
That is. But,
it's a Sesame Street.
Nope. No,
Sesame Street.
I don't watch Sesame
Street.
Watch it. Anyhow, maybe I should now, you know. Blaze of fire, screams, and eyes of green stare. I like the fact that you actually use the eyes of green because, you know, green is the rarest eye color in all of humanity. And, you know, I don't know, everybody's nuts about blue eyes or whatever, you know, but you don't see very many things written in about green eyes. And I thought that caught my eye right there. This whole poem was just marvelous. And I want to pin it on my page, too, by the way. So,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dave.
In the profile. There we go. Yeah, absolutely stunning, Sweet Pea. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I loved it. Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And, Sky, will you comment for Sweet Pea before you go and tell us what's coming up on your next show?
Yeah, I'd absolutely love to. And, Deb, you know I love you, but you knew this was coming. I'll make a comment, but now that Deb stole all the lines. Touché, though. I would have stole them all, too, if I was the first to comment. I have to be honest with you. This was absolutely brilliant. You know, the water, where was I? The killed, the white roses on my casket, as the linen wrapped in lilac, that's the smell of my decay. How beautiful you make rotting sound, really. So beautiful. But you make it sound.
Great, I love that.
You make it sound so beautiful. There's rotting and this death. And I love that you do that. And again, the salted waterfalls with the tears and a taste of salt, I think, was a brilliant way to bring in those images and even to bring in that taste. And then when you pair it with those roses in the casket, it really is quite somber and it's quite beautiful and elegant and still gives you that chill of the smell of decay. I don't know why, but it just reminded me of when, you know, like that ring around the posy thing, you know, during the Black Plague, and then you shove all the posies in the pockets to make it, you know, that decay smell better. I don't know why, but that's what it just popped in my head when I was thinking about that. But your piece, again, I put the picture on the board for you, Dave, so you can know what those are, what she's talking about. I love the way you paired. You bring in Alice in Wonderland for Hatter, and then you bring in all these other ideas, like with this eyes of pewter colored elephants, and bring in stuff a lot. I don't know. I can't say that, but I think you should also bring in Huffalumps in here too. You gotta just write a shout out at the end. You know, like Sky's Huffalumps too, like in the author's note or something, just to make me happy.
Okay.
But again, Stubble in the Nightmares of the Dead. I mean, this was just wonderfully dark and rich and beautiful, but in a very, very dark sense in a very dark sense, with the body chills, 100 degrees, crimson wings spread, the queen I born, my hands bloody, I take the crown. And you definitely have, like everybody says, definitely taken the crown. You did this woman justice, I got to tell you. I was looking at that picture, and I was like, that's a really cool picture. So I'm glad you did a wonderful job with it.
And the painting is called Sweetness or something like that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just about to look and see. It was Sweet. What number was that, Sweet?
I don't know.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to find it because I was sure you were going to have a hard time between this one and the one that Frank wound up. And I wondered if you would go with this one because of the name. It was called Revenge.
Yeah, Sweet's Revenge.
Mm-hmm. The Sweet Crown of Death. Oh, my goodness. It was excellent.
Awesome comment. And before I get another comment for Sweet, will you tell us what's happening on your next show?
Yep. So Saturday at 8 p.m. over at Storyboard, we are doing Christmas in July, Volume 2. And we are doing old Christmas short films that I used to watch. And Christmas Comes Once a Year, 1936. I know it's really old, but my mom had a bunch of old VHS tapes. So I grew up with a mom that was born in 49. So Rudolph, 1949. In the Shanty Where Santa Claus Lives, 1933, and Santa's Workshop, 1932. So you can just watch them and do whatever you want. You can totally, you can just bring a Christmas home. I don't really care. Just come celebrate Christmas with me. So that's all.
Sounds like a fun time. And I appreciate you calling. And I will see you at the party in a little
while.
Thank
you. Have a good night.
Night. And Wayne, will you comment for Sweet? And then I'm going to have her push her next show. Oh, I think we have Crystal this week, right?
Yeah, it's Crystal's week.
Crystal.
Okay, so then Wayne, will you comment for Sweet PB? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hold the process. Frank, did I let you comment on Sweet? Would you like
No. Well, by all means, of course. I was letting everyone just finish the conversation there. I really thought, I mean, I don't know what else I could say about Sweet. I mean, that everyone has not mentioned already. She has a remarkable ability of just crafting incredible lines there, with, you know, regardless whether it's dark, whether it's central. She seems to have just wonderful ability to bring in the intensity into her writing. To bring in the metaphors, the imagery, you know, this poem here was just, was very powerful here in the sense of the metaphors here. The imagery was vivid, I said before, but I also gravitate to the way, now, of course, the way she reads it is just it's remarkable as well, but the way the story is conveyed, that is what I am always drawn into Sweet's pieces. I know what to expect to a certain point, but it's always something, there's mystery always to her poems. There's something there that drives me there with the mystery of that aspect there. And I like the way she always ends her poems there with that intensity there. So I thought it was a great piece, as always.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. Awesome. Very honored.
Awesome comment. Okay, and I apologize for cutting you off, Wayne, but will you please comment for my Sweet now and then read your poem?
Sure. I said, this is wonderfully written, and this is dark as hell. I could smell the decay of your body. It was wonderful. It's wonderful the way you stumbled through the nightmares of the dead, the home of the sanity and fear. Shh. This has a wonderful flow that gave me the chills. A queen is born. You're the dark queen who deserves the crown. Great job with this. I loved it.
Thank you. Thank you, Wayne.
I could shh. It was great.
Fabulous comment, well, and I know that Sweet's got to go, so love you, Sweet. Thank you for calling.
Love you. Thank you guys very much.
Take care, Sweet.
Take care. You're glad you're here, Sweet.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Sweet.
Night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And Wayne, go ahead and take us away, please.
Yes, I wrote this poem. I turned on today about 20 after, and I hadn't wrote a poem. I didn't know I hadn't wrote a poem. I said, oh, my God, I got 40 minutes to get a poem wrote. So I started in writing this poem, so I don't know how well it's going to be. I finished it as the songs was playing. So it's called The Farmer and Me, and it goes like this. It was an amber day, was feeling gray. In my indigo mind, I had to get away. With my merit boat, I wanted to sway. In the scarlet mist, the side I would play. It wasn't long till I made my way downstream. In my opal mind, I started to dream. First it was darkness, then came the strangers. Wasn't aware of all the dangers. As I looked around, I saw ebony creatures on shore. All of a sudden, didn't want to be alone anymore. In licorice water, they began to swim. There was two jasmine creatures hanging from a limb. Sky, now ruby red, I wanted out of there. Then a grin of him grabbed my boat and started causing a scare. I started the motor because I wanted to go. It chewed up the monster so very slow. There was blood and guts all over the place. I could see the creature taking a taste. They gathered around and started eating with zeal. My stomach was churning. It was a gross meal. Headed back up home where it was going upstream, at least four more monsters, it would seem. The screams were horrible, hurt my ears. As I ran the bend, I stripped out some gears. I jumped out of the boat, swam to the bank. There was a mushroom farmer I had to thank. We had the bank to his old cobalt truck. He couldn't get it started. I thought this would suck. Farmer said, don't worry, I don't have a plan. I wanted to cry. I had about all I could stand. I saw them coming, a moving smoke silhouette. Farmer started his fire. Single flames was his bet. Creatures raised up and let out a yell. The fire scared him. It was easy to tell. I got a ride home from the farmer back to town. In his really overalls, he didn't make a sound. In.
I can't believe you just threw that together. And oh my goodness.
Yeah, really.
It was a good thing I was muted when you got to. There was a mushroom farmer I had to say. I actually literally laughed out loud here. Oh my goodness. Wasn't long till I made my way downstream. In my opal mind, I started to dream. First there was darkness, then came the strangers. Wasn't aware of all the dangers. As I looked around, saw ebony creatures on shore. I mean, you were bad trip, scary trip. Jumped out of the boat. I still love that. Yeah, right. I just love that. Jumped out of the boat, swam to the bank. There was a mushroom farmer I had to thank. Was headed up to the bank in his old cobalt truck. He couldn't get it started. I thought this would suck. This is a funny way. You did a great job with it. Absolutely great job. One share, start to finish. Dave, what did you think?
Oh, I love this. This was perfect. Absolutely perfect. And, boy, Wayne, I tell you, if you didn't have very much time to write this, then more kudos to you because you did an excellent job on this. You rhymed it. It was funny. It had your signature humor streak riddled in and out of the storyline. I loved it. Head up home was going upstream. Hit at least four monsters, it would seem. The screams were horrible, hurt my ears. As I round the bend, I stripped out. That's perfect. Absolutely perfect. I just love this thing. It really hit my funny bone dead center. Way to go, man. This was cool.
Thank you.
Really cool.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. You know, when I can hear his laughter coming from our laughter, and that full circle right there is pretty priceless. When you can tickle somebody to the point of laughter and it tickles you too, that's a gift. Frank,
hear your
laugh
is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I always think I'm. A film, a scene there when I read and hear Wayne's pieces when they are of this genre here. This was a brilliant, brilliant story you brought here. It was dark, it was eerie. Yet as well, your wit, it seems to always carry the poem so smoothly. I was taken by the whole notion there of the storyline. You know, you really can, as I said before, you really can write so many stories here, Wayne, and you could actually branch off into short stories, and they still would be compelling, they would be convincing, they would still be haunting, you know. You would, they still be visiting, you know. This whole, you know, I like the, of course, I like the metaphors, as I said before. You've got some exquisite metaphors from the I believe from what was chosen here from Deb's selection there. I really thought this piece was just fantastic. Really, you know, the whole notion of the farm and me, and looking at that prompt there, I really was just taken in from the beginning to this. I was taken into the depth of the poem there. I could feel the whole, the fear factor of this poem, the mystery, the intensity. There was so much that you brought out in this poem, you know, so much feelings there, so much thoughts. So an excellent job there, my friend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I didn't know where I was going. I started writing. I didn't know where I was going to end up at. I just started writing, and there I was out on the boat, and I didn't know where I was going to end up at. So it was kind of strange. I was fighting that way. I was fighting through it. So I didn't know where I was going. So it's thank you very much.
How are you doing, my friend? It's good to hear from you again.
Nice to hear from you, too. I've been busy with new job and studying a lot and going to class, and so I've been real busy. But I'm going to get back out of it pretty soon.
It's good to see you.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment for Wayne, and then I will have you read, please?
Okay, yeah, I was following along just fine, and then you got to that, jumped out of the boat, swam to the bank. There was a mushroom farmer I had to thank. I couldn't get to the mute back fast enough.
No kidding.
Where it came from.
I know it, man.
I don't know where it came from. It just came out.
Yeah, you know what it is? You didn't have time to overthink it. You just looked at that picture and went with it. And I mean, I can't believe how quickly you came up with that.
I can't either. It's
got everybody cracking up. Yeah, got everybody cracking up with what looked like practically no effort whatsoever. So, like, really, really awesome.
Thank you all of you. I appreciate your comments.
Patter, yours is on the board, so it's your turn to dazzle us.
Okay. This one got a drastic edit at the end. So it was a lot longer, but it sort of went two different ways. I now pray that it goes this way. Stripped of all that I once owned, cold had settled into my bones. I lay upon my funeral stone, asking crows to take me home. Cannot breathe with this rancid breeze filling up my head, climbing high with questions why could it be that I am dead. With nickels and dimes I paid the fines, but it cannot stop the rain. There is something left for me to get, so I wait for the coming change. It all seems queer that I have no fear that my life is at its end. I now pray that it goes this way and it all begins again. Just give me another shot, man.
Damn, Hatter. I cannot breathe with this radical breeze filling up my head, climbing high with questions. Why could it be that I am dead? Well, damn. With nickels and dimes, I'll pay the fines, but I cannot stop the rain. Okay, I know I say this all the time, but for one thing, your meter has such a signature of Hatter all over it, because it's just like, I can't steal all the lines or I won't have any of it, but I'm going to go back to the same one I already. I cannot breathe with this rancid breeze filling up my head, climbing high with questions why could it be that I am dead. Just there's something about that question. It's just so creepy. No, you're not dead.
Okay.
Just let's start there. I like the title, too. I now pray that it goes this way. So as long as you – I pray it goes that way, too. But, no, you did a great job with the brevity, Hatter. With your impeccable rhyme in there. It's a fantastic piece. Let me give you some comments. How about Dave Profit?
Oh, thank you. I really like this one. This has Hatter all over it.
if you took this poem and put it in a million other poems and somebody read this out loud and said, who is this? I'd say it's Hatter. It's Hatter's poem. Anybody that knows Hatter recognizes his signature style, and that's what this is. This gentleman has a real heart inside of him. He communicates with it very well, and he shows it to the reader, and it's all good, you know. And I like this. It's sort of an unloading poem for me, anyway. I mean, that's what I took away from it. I'm 74 years old, so, you know, this poem has a lot more meaning for me than someone at 26. But, it's a really nice way to contemplate the end or dying, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I like the last stanza here, a couplet. It says, it all seems clear that I have no fear, that my life is at its end. I now pray that it goes this way and it all begins again. I also like the concept of a never-ending or death and rebirth kind of a thing. It's where the universe works, and wouldn't surprise me at all when it comes my time to check out that, you know, I get reborn as something else, who knows what. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that. And I think this poem explains this really well, and I loved it.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, it's there's something after this. Something after this. No worries.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Absolutely. No question in my mind.
Great comment. And Wayne?
Yes, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. And you're wondering if you're dead and realize that life is over and you're waiting to see what's next. It leaves us all thinking about the moments that after death has appeared. There's a comment with the realization that you had, and I like the way it ends when you're saying, let's do this again. So it's kind of a great way to look at life and death, and the way you don't want to see it happen all over again. It's a wonderful take on death. I like it a whole lot. This is touching. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Wayne. Yeah, I hope there's no wine.
Hope death is just like that. That's what I want, be just like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think there's any line pattern.
No, I don't think so. Okay, we've got four left. So So Frank, will you comment on Hatter and then read your poem for us?
No, I have a song called In Line.
You are right. Would you comment for Hatter, and then we'll play your sound.
Yes, by all means. First of all, this is an interesting poem, a concept that you bring in here about birth and that. I really like how you brought it in with the aspects of that, of what is the elements of life, you know, the things that are around us, you know. And this is a vision as well. It has a vision there. You know, just the whole notion of lying there, you know, wondering if you're dead or not and wondering what transpires afterwards. It's a very challenging vision that you bring there. And it's always the mystery that since the birth and the inception of mankind, we'd always wonder what happens afterwards. So you really got me thinking there. The rhyming is always impeccable with you. This was just a riveting poem here that really brought a sense of philosophy here as well. It really made me think here, that whole notion there with I cannot breathe with this rancid breathe filling up my head, climbing high with questions, why could it be that I'm dead? It's almost seemed that notion where we often at times, you know, wonder what is reality, how do we define reality? Are we in reality, or is this just another realm of another type of dimension? So it does, it's an interesting question there. I don't know to what extent we can ever answer those questions there, Hatter, but you presented a very enlightened piece here.
Cool, thank you, Frank. Yeah, that whole thought process. The picture pump had a crow sort of carrying a guy, so I sort of took that angle, you know,
Yeah, that was a great, I could tell to some extent probably did an excellent job there with the prompt there. That was great.
Well, thank you, Frank, very much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Awesome comments, everyone. And Frank, we got you on the board, so take us away. Sorry, I will push the button now. Duh.
Through the achromatic presence of a violet mist, a haunting umbra of the murlit dusk emerges, like a falling angel from the lava flame of hell. For so alluring is the spell of her sweet seduction. Before the dank entrance of the clotted cavern stands the image of my eternal condemnation, dressed in garments of a stammel hue of death. She tries to wield dominion with her bold raven eyes. Her echoic whisper soon begin to call out my name as she caresses me with her flowing bruneous tresses, and I can feel the pleasure of her delicate touch tangibly. The painted fingernails tickle my yearning flesh so vulnerable. The burning candles of the passion light up around me, and I am forsaken to the fate of the charcoal dust blowing that will reduce me to the daunting realm of oblivion where the crimson clovers once had flourished before. As I strongly resist the vile temptation of a subtle look, the fiery flame of the candles become then so estiferous, and the breath of a soft voice intensifies with the wild winds, her ebony eyes then change into the hoary film of dread. Lovely violets and jasmines become hideous dried vines, dripping within the dew of a sanguineous colour, and the blackberry trees are drenched in dark copper. For hear the clamour of the tenanted souls of hell. Dark, dark, the whore of darkness like a shroud wraps me and bears me on through mist and cloud, where the darkness begins to develop its drear shadows, and where the light of dawn will fade to never return. I can sense that I'm fading away into the shadow of my death. I can sense that I'm fading away into the shadow of my death in the poem.
Wow.
Wow.
Man. Whoa. You know, that last breathy death part seems like it should be a button in the studio for Halloween time. That was creepier than some of the creepy noises we have in there. Oh. Okay. Wow. The burning candles of the passion light around me, and I am forsaken to the fate of the charcoal dust blowing that will reduce me to the daunting realm of oblivion where the crimson clovers once had flourished before. This seemed like it could be something that you could have read as an introduction to a Twilight Zone episode or something for some reason. and man, oh man, I strongly resist the vile temptation of her subtle look. The fiery flame of the candles becomes then
So, asterophurious? What a word.
No,
and the breath of her soft voice intensifies with the wild winds. Her ebony eyes then change into the hoary film of dread. Wow. I mean, you really brought in some deep and dark images to drive this, to bring this photo to life and to, yes, get us all set to sit back and watch like a scary, freaky episode. really, really awesome. But I can't emphasize enough how that last couplet, the way you read it, was just like chill bump worthy. So, whew, bravo, bravo.
There you go.
All
I don't have the perhaps
all
you can put the picture up there. I don't have the picture there. Perhaps you could put it on the chat room there, the one I chose for.
I can do that. How about if Wayne, you start, I mean, yeah, Wayne, if you would start commenting on Frank, I will grab the photo so everyone can see it.
Well, if the hell's as horrible as the way his poem makes it, I don't know part of it. This is a horrifying poem that has scared the crap out of me. You perfectly explained the entrance into hell. I'm sitting here in a state of frozen fear. Great terminology and a wonderful read. You've detailed the moments before sensing of eternal hell perfectly. This is great and scary and dark and wonderful. Great job, Frank. Damn, what a poem.
I appreciate it, my friend. I had fun with this.
Awesome comment, and I am about to click on the poem. Oops, that one's not her. Wait a minute. Because I have to dig back into the files because I've put up a bunch of topic boards since then. Okay, now here's the dark ones. Where is...
It's a woman there with a red dress. She's in front of a tablet, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just looking. This one might be Sweets. Yeah, that one's Sweets. You and she wrote to the same chick, just different pose and perspective. Let me see here. So if I come down this way, this one should be yours. Yes, it is. Okay. So this is the this is the picture prompt that Frank just read to us about. So you really brought it to life. I think you did a great job.
It's scary too.
I was following along and I noticed a lot of references to she and her. So I scrolled back to see, okay, who is her, to make sure that I had followed it right. And it goes clear to the first stanza, the fallen angel, correct?
Yeah.
Beautifully read, beautifully written. And then at the end, you got me with the, does it really cast a shadow? Never thought about that. The shadow of my own death. Good metaphor.
That's a realization after when you die. It's just death itself in the form of the image of her. She is the one who is escorting you to your death, to the realization that you're dead, you're dying.
Yeah, you. There are parts where it's very subtle when you talk about her, but you do get dark. The whole thing, about halfway through, all the way to the finish, developing drear shadows, where they're like dawn. Yeah, you got it. You're a master of words, Frank.
I appreciate that, my friend. I have to thank Deb. Forgive me the prompt when I saw this prompt. I knew I had to go dark here and just was just inevitable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dave Prophet, what do you think?
Well, you know, this almost, I've read a lot of Edgar Allan Poe's work, and I'm pretty rusty on it right now, but this kind of reminded me of that. His brooding, elations to horror and fear and death and stuff, and I kind of picked that up in this right here. You know, I'm looking at this one stanza right here, so it kind of jumps out at me. It says, "Her echoic whispers soon begin to call out my name as she caresses me with her flowing brunette tresses."
Yes, brown. In other words, the brown.
Okay. "And I can feel the pleasure of her delicate touch tangibly. The painted fingernails tickle my yearning flesh so vulnerable." It's a really descriptive poem. It's got a great storyline to it. It's interesting. It's really scary. And I thought you did an excellent job. I have to agree that with Patter, you're a wordsmith for sure. So, nicely done.
I appreciate that. And one thing before, because I have to go now, before I go, the word is there, Deb. It means basically it's a more intense fire. So that's why I say the fire became more intense there. It's different. That's all the word means. But I do have to run now, so I'm going to go stop over there for a bit over there with Stephen before I call in the night.
All right, well,
yeah,
I
appreciate
Frank,
man. It's nice hearing you, Frank.
Good seeing you all, my friends. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to be with all of you. Consider you all your friends. Take care.
Take care, Frank. Thank you.
Take care.
You're welcome.
See you, Frank.
And did you get the comment, Wayne? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was first.
Okay, I thought so, but I just want to double check. Okay, we got these last three left, guys. Two are recording, and then I'll read for Crystal. So if you guys would click on push play.
Poet's Power, written and read by Gerald Green. Epigraph. Deep into the darkness peering, long I stood there, wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. By E.A. Poe. To read a poem seems an easy thing. Those charcoal-colored lines read fast or slow, with active words that pierce and deeply flow, like water, cool, refreshing as a spring. Few understand the silent force involved, attachments gaining strength with every word, as synapse creates feelings yet unstirred, not knowing how it's molded or evolved. The poet reaches out for full embrace, with deepness and insightful acumen, in hope of some reaction to his pen, enticing reader to that amber place. The introduction phase at first creates a sense of recognition, rising strong, endorphins flow, exuberance rings long, and when subsides, with fragrance, it awaits. A second reading sparks, reactivates old feelings, ripe with yearning for a sweet reunion, ever longing for repeated time when recognition stimulates. The process forms a hidden bond between the reader and the now familiar voice, with feelings gaining strength, which then rejoice on repetition of each lyric scene. A union forms, with no agreement made, as two come ever closer and cohere, and reader's mind is drawn within the sapphire sphere of poet's power, where thoughts are formed and swayed. And if the reader fails to reconnect, the newly cherished fragrance dissipates, and distance grows between two souls and fates. The poet's words no longer have effect. But as the reader comes again to taste the morsels waiting on the poet's page, lost feelings get revived and stress assuaged, with words consumed and patterns old retraced. The reader now moves on with added zest, emotions growing stronger with each phrase, absorbing words, ideas that amaze. The page becomes a sacred place of rest. The writing stirs the unsuspecting heart and sparks a revolution in the soul that builds until it seizes full control of flaming thoughts that force all others to depart. And this newfound obsession comes and goes with higher highs and even higher lows as crimson power from the page expands and grows and souls connect with poems stirring prose. Obsession turns to love as heart controls. This granite force, intense if left unchecked, consumes, and in this case the reader just presumes good health prevails as inner self extols. The poet gets this love unknowingly from readers unrecorded and unknown. It brings at first a feeling unbeknown, lightheartedness and unexpected glee that camouflages with a subtle lilac scent designed to adulate celebrities. Its venal and corrupted properties depress and breed a fatal discontent. So after time, the scarlet love decays and sucks the waxing life insidiously. Exhaustion thus replacing vibrancy, and poet's force of life begins to fade. As more love comes from others who adore, the poet's life ebbs downward evermore, and appetite and health are uncared for. Each day the poet feels worse than before. The spiral forms, ebonic forces congregate, devotion seeking something to devour, its passion aimed at poet's heart with power. The poet seeks release from unveiled fate. The rusty trap holds firm. The poet's now at war with love that smothers life and breath until it overcomes with eagerness to kill. The poet loses zeal and writes no more. His feeble frame, turned gray, is now an empty shell. He's out of words, has nothing more to give. No longer does he even care to live. His cursed life's become a smoke-filled living hell. Now, budding poet, let me ask of you, as readers like your work and ask for more, and as their love comes through your open door, are you prepared for what will come of you? End poem.
Well, I think I kind of love that he ended it with a question there. Are you prepared for what will come of you? Let me see, where do I want to go? Back towards the beginning, a union forms with no agreement made as two come ever close and cohere, and reader's mind is drawn within the sapphire sphere of poet's power where formed and swayed. And if the reader fails to reconnect, the newly cherished fragrance dissipates, and the distance grows between two souls and fates. The poet's words no longer have effect. I don't know why, but the thought of poet's words no longer having any kind of effect is such a deeply sad thing. Like, if we couldn't make someone laugh or smile or cry or, you know, with our words anymore, how sad would that be? Man, let me see. Obsession turns to love as heart controls. The granite force, intense, if left unchecked, consumes. And in this case, the reader just presumes good health prevails as inner self extols. I think that this photo must have screamed for Gerald, because he, like, just stepped in here with Poe's line and just went all out. Man, I could just keep quoting lines, but I'm still stuck by the thought in that whole stanza there. And if the reader fails to reconnect, the newly cherished fragrance dissipates, and distance grows between two souls and fates. The poet's words no longer have effect. It bared repeating in my book, because that's such a powerful thought there, sadly powerful. Man, and there was something that one, there was another one I want. The rusty trap holds firm. The poet's now at war with love that smothers life and breathes until it overcomes with eagerness to kill.
the poet loses zeal and writes no more. Oh, I mean, tragic. Tragic. But again,
yeah, now what I got, Deb, right there with the rusty trap pulled sperm, he sort of leads in, and tell me if you got the same kind of thing. It's like the poet is almost cursed, and he's trying to pass the baton on and somebody else take it because he either doesn't want to write it anymore or it's too dark a place for him or something, to where, you know, he's got to almost write so well that the reader is now the essence of the poet fills him, so the other poet's released. I mean, did you get any of that? Sort of sounded like he hit on that a little bit.
Oh, I think he covered a myriad of feelings for the poet through here,
yeah.
And each one more powerful than the last one. And I could see parts of what you were saying too.
He hit on the reader having to come back. The reader came back and started reading again to revive the feelings that he would need to take over the poet. I mean, I got a little of that. I'm hoping that was his intention on the storyline, but either way, it was great.
Absolutely. And like I said, with the thought of each portion where, you know, how would it feel when you're used to people coming and telling you how much they like your poetry and asking for more, and then suddenly through your door, are you prepared for what's going to come? And it,
yeah.
for a quick minute there, I got the thought of a couple of different poets I know that had felt stalked by fans of their poetry. So I got the feeling of that there when you open that door, you know, what might you find? So this is some really thought-provoking stuff in here, Dan.
It is.
Gerald always is, you know. David, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Deborah. And I also find it fascinating, or sadly fascinating, that, and it's possible nowadays, what, the way the world's going and the mentality we have running around out there, that those kind of people probably don't read poetry anyway. They probably couldn't rhyme, make a nursery rhyme if they had to. But, I know how I would feel. Sometimes I just don't feel like writing, but it always comes back to me. And, especially when you put prompts up there like you do, that just pushes all the reset buttons on me as far as muse goes and wanting to write. And this poem it talks about that, and it discusses that sort of thing, and really puts it right in your face, you know. I like that last stanza very well too. The spiral forms, ebonic forces congregate, devotion seeking something to devour, its passion aimed at poet's heart's power. The poet seeks release from unveiled fate. You know, I some of this ebonic crap and stuff that I read in some of the today's brand new buzzwords and stuff, it makes me cringe. It makes me absolutely cringe. I want to crawl into a hole and say, hey, I don't, I'm not from this planet. What the hell is the matter with you, you know? You can't do any, some of those words are crass and they're gross, and you can't do a damn thing with them except throw them out, you know, and to my way of thinking anyway. And this poem says that in spades. I thought it was really well done. I like the way Gerald writes anyway. He's great. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. Great comment, Dave. Heather, are you making dinner or something?
I'm hungry.
Turn off the water.
Oh, no, it's just it was starting to overpower with sound. I just couldn't figure out what it was.
Okay, so we got two more left. We got Phil's recording, and then I'll read for Crystal. So click on Phil's, and I will push play, and then we can wrap up the show. Looks like it got buried, so let me put it back up again. Give me a half a second here. There we go. Okay, and I'm going to push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Dust and Bone Memory. All I have left is remnants of a dust and bone memory, floating around the ash-filled atmosphere of charcoal dreams. A singed letter lies in my open hand of a final verse that I thought I would never share before you departed. All my days are filled with clouded crimson haze. All my nights suffocate me with ebony swirls of death, drowning me in granite of licorice blindness, forcing me to lick the magnesium from gangrene wounds. All is gone, except the rose petal of ruby red among the carnage, seeking the glow of the goldenrod sun in the noonday sky, roots searching for water in the soil of decaying rust, passing like time through my grey, pale fingers. All the mist of paprika and burgundy burnt sulfur infuses through the conscience of one who has tasted the bittersweet maze of smoked toffee between grinding teeth, leaving an aftertaste of cappuccino-induced memories. All that I have, I gather unto the lava of my tortured soul. My liver swells, my spleen vomits forth putrid emerald flames, engulfing me in my melancholic dungeon of regret. This is all that I possess, all that I will ever need. All is now gone, my apple blossom, vanished in thin air. Just a smudge of cranberry tears upon my face, remembering that all I once had held with joy, the howling wind has scattered into the pit of oblivious grief. End poem.
I love listening to Phil read. I like the way he pronounces stuff. All is gone except a rose petal of ruby red among the carnage, seeking the glow of the goldenrod sun in the noonday sky, roots searching for water in the soil of decaying rust, passing like time through my gray, pale fingers. The details here are so vivid. You can absolutely picture every stanza. And then again, coupled with his voice and his writing, it's really a total treat. And I love the title, too, Dust and Bone Memory. Quite an interesting way to label this. But down at the end, the closing stanza, all is now gone. My apple blossom vanished in thin air. Just a smudge of cranberry tears upon my face, remembering that I once had held with joy. The howling wind has scattered into a pit of oblivious grief. And what an ending, because, like, that's it. You're howling and scattered into the pit, and it's over, and there's no joy anymore. And like, wow, another excellent write, Phil. I very much appreciate your writing and the recording. Thank you so much. Dave, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, I have to admit, agree with everything you said about it, Deb. You kind of took the words out of my mouth. This is really bleak, and I can't get my head around anything that permanent or final. You know, it's just the way I am. And, you know, I had my go around with cancer about 13, 14 years ago, and it overhauled my outlook on life a whole bunch. And this was really, really hard for me to deal with, you know, the finality of it and everything. Excellent descriptions and really fascinating storyline. That always is a key ingredient in whether I like a poem or if I just think it's shotgun full of metaphors. But this one wasn't. And I like the way Phil writes. I always have. I've always enjoyed reading for him when he was into that. So anyway, this is just another example of his fine writing ability.
Awesome comment. And if you hit refresh on his poem, I just added the photo that he wrote to down in my comment if you want to see it. And Hatter, will you comment for Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but wow. I'm sort of stuck.
Oh, okay. You all right?
I don't know. Not the moment.
Okay. All right. I am going to read for Crystal, and then we can close out the show. It's called Work. Oh, did I put the link? Yeah, it's right above my message to everyone. And it's Words of a Withered White Rose by Crystal Hope. And here we go. Bleeding apple orchards, bleeding apple orchids crumbled me to pieces. I knew it was never going to be easy. I whispered to the thorns you possessed that you knitted to my beating chest. I was unraveled, undone of granite threads, of ignorant red flags I had said. I withered like an ivory rose in the brink of moonlight, dying of dehydration of a starless night. Dreams shattered by the elements of my own mind regarding the charcoal pearls that refused to shine. Dark clouds of jasmine and cobalt left my blackberry eyes failed to fall. Snake skin slithers up on crimson vines of the love I thought was mine. Dripping blood where shadows grow in the statue of a withered white rose. Oh, I feel so sad now after reading that.
Yeah.
Death, sadness, grief. Man, vivid imagery. Bleeding apple orchid crumbles to pieces. I knew it was never going to be easy, but obviously way harder than expected, you know. Dreams shattered by the elements of my own mind regarding the charcoal pearls that refused to shine. Crystal's always been a really strong brevity writer, but these couplets mm-hmm. are so vivid and so powerful in emotion, and by the time I was done, like I said, I could feel the ache and sadness and pain. So bravo, little sis. You did a brilliant job with this, and I was really honored to read for you. And David, will you comment for Chrissy, please?
Oh, I love to. I love Crystal. She's such a treat. And the way she writes and stuff is, you know, she's getting better every day, I think. This was really, really gloomy, you know. Bleeding apple orchards crumble me to pieces. Just makes you feel like you're just coming undone inside, you know. I knew it was never going to be easy. I whispered to the thorns you possessed that you knitted to my beating chest. I was unraveled, undone of granite threads of ignorant red flags I had said. man, she's really got a good storyline going on in this poem, and it's really consistent and well focused, and it makes it easy to read. She's dripping blood where shadows grow in the statues of withered white rose. Wow, that's pretty dark. I mean, you just, you know, everybody loves roses. I don't know some people that don't like them, but, you know, and then to see this, you know, and have her talk about it, wow, heavy duty. I hope Chrissy writes more upbeat stuff in the future.
Yeah.
You know?
I found myself hoping that she was just writing to the prompt and not to her own heartache, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It was really, really powerful.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, very powerful. Yeah. She is a hell of a poetess.
She is.
I knew
and
it was
so
never
going to
be easy.
She only got more.
Yeah.
She only got better and better to go, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, she has.
Did you say hi?
Yes. Did you
want
to say something?
Yeah. The line right at the beginning, I knew it was never going to be easy. And then a whisper to the thorns you possessed that you knitted to my beating chest. Yeah, I hope. You know, when somebody's been there, that heartache, some find it easier to tap back into. And this one does.
It does indeed, yeah. All right, well, in case you don't know, there's a party going on over at Poetic Slice, because now that it is midnight, it is officially July 6th, which means it's officially Stephen's birthday. So shout out, happy birthday to Stephen. I want to thank Hatter for always being there. Appreciate my big brother more than he knows. And I want to say thank you to David and Stephen and Kay and Wayne and AP and Sky and Frank and Sweet. I want to thank Frank, Phil, and Gerald for those recordings. And I would like to thank Angel and Crystal for their poems that they sent. It was an honor to read for them. I appreciate all of you very, very much.
Mm.
And you are amazing poets, whether you know it or not. And getting to spend time with you week after week is a major treat and something I look forward to. And it was a really cool way to take away the stigma of everybody hates Monday, because now you get to come hang out with me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah, absolutely.
On that note, I think what I'll do is, since we started this show with The Sandman by Metallica, I think that The Sandman should enter one more time and sing us out of this show. And then we can, and we are off tomorrow, so stay tuned to see what might happen for Wednesday. And I am going to push play. Night, guys. Love and respect.
Good night, Jeff.
Thanks, you guys. Love and respect. Good night.
Thank you, Deb.
Good night.
Fun show tonight. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.